Well, good morning, everyone. Does anybody have a testimony as to what God has done in your life? If you're saved, you have a testimony of how God turned you from darkness to light. And that's what this first song is all about. It's a testimony song. Let's stand together and let's thank God for all He's done in our life. Glory to Your name, Lord. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. Just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. He told me that I was not alone. He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because You healed my heart, changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what I've seen. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends, burden and bitterness. No, You're not welcome here. From now till I walk streets of gold, I'll sing of how You saved my soul. This wayward son is bound his way back. Pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because You healed my heart, changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because You healed my heart, You changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Hell lost another one. Has hell lost its grip on you? Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because You healed my heart, changed my name. forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, praise your name. Oh, we give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory to your name. Oh, praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Some years ago, I remember being somewhere and just hearing people taking God's precious name and just throwing it around in the most horrible ways. And I was reminded of the words that Jesus in the Lord's Prayer said, "Hallowed, hallowed be your name." That his name is holy. Let's revere his name this morning. Thank you, Father, for your precious name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallowed be your name. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come in all the earth. Let your will be done as we lift up the name of Jesus. Let your presence come in all the earth. Let your kingdom come through me. Let your kingdom come through me. Let me heal with your hands. Let me speak from your heart. Let your kingdom come through me. Let your kingdom come through me. Let your kingdom come through me. Let me heal with your hand. Let me speak from your heart. Let your kingdom come. Let your will.
you, Lord. Calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of
Jesus. Come and fill us, Lord. We're thirsty, Lord. We're crying out to you. Oh, Jesus, come and fill us, Lord. Fill us afresh, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, we look to you, Lord. We look to you, Lord. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You may be seated. We're not done worshiping the Lord. It's just different ways we worship the Lord. And singing is one, giving is another, studying His Word is another. There's all kinds of ways. So we are introducing today something, if you were here when COVID hit, we were actually doing this as a church. And then COVID came and everything came undone. So we're starting it up again, and these are 5-minute foundation, so that every Sunday it will be different people. It won't always be me, or it'll be different people will come, and we will take 5 minutes or less, and we will outline one of the foundation stones of our faith. And you should have received one of these. If you haven't received it, maybe raise your hand and somebody can let you get one. And it's a little thing you can fill the blanks in. And then you can stick this in your Bible, and you can go home this week and you can do a deeper dive on this. Or if somebody says, well, I don't understand today is the plan of salvation. I don't understand the plan of salvation. You can say, wait a minute, and you can pull it out, and you have something there to look at. So if we do this every Sunday, in any given year, we will touch on the foundations of our faith 3 or more times every year. So you know what's going to happen by the end of a year, you'll be able to come up and do the teaching. Okay, so what we really want is we really want you to know what we believe, why we believe it, where we find it in the Bible. So today we're looking at the plan of salvation. So remember, keep track right here, and we can see that in the plan of salvation, there's number one, sin is a fact, the fact of sin. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is anything contrary to God's standards, His person, or His purpose. And there is a penalty that comes with sin, sins of omission and sins of commission. It says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's heavy. That's heavy. We need to be saved. There's something there. And so Jesus came and He paid the penalty. Penalty, you can fill that right in there. And number three, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners. Think about that. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, justice is getting what you deserve. And how many of you want justice? I don't think any of us want justice. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, the unmerited favor of God. And mercy is not getting what we deserve. And so God, in sending Jesus to bear our sin, the penalty of our sin was laid upon Him, and we receive mercy. Number four, we must receive Jesus Christ as Savior. This is how this is activated in our life. This is how it happens. We pray, we receive Him. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Being born again is an act of our will expressed in faith. So what are the results of receiving Christ? Well, why do we even need to do that? What good is that? Well, let me tell you. Number one, we get forgiveness of sin. Sin is gone. Hallelujah. Some of you walking around in guilt all the time, I have to tell you something. The sin is gone. It's gone. It's done. There's new life. We're born again. We become new people. And you begin to notice things are different inside. We're not the same as we used to be. We know eternal life is knowing God. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you would know the only true God and Jesus Christ the Son. We get to have a relationship with God. We are adopted into God's family. That means we belong, not just to Him. Being in a church is not just believing, it's belonging. And we belong to Him and we belong to one another. There is acceptance. Bible says in Ephesians that we are accepted in the Beloved. There's a destiny and a purpose for us that He has because of this regeneration, this being born again. So that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. So how can we do this? First of all, we believe the gospel. Second, we repent, which means we turn away from those things that were taking us away from God. We repent means to turn. So we're going this way and now we're going that way. We haven't got our destination that way, but we're heading that way. We repent. And the third thing is we accept what God has done for us. And that is the plan of salvation in less than 5 minutes.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom. We'll be looking at different topics every Sunday. It's so important that we have the basic foundational principles of the Scripture all the time. Glory to His name. We are going to be celebrating communion today as well. So if you would stand and join us with this song before we go to the communion table. Oh, the blood. blood, it is my victory. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your love.
Before you're seated, which you already are.
Let's come up and get the elements. I'd like you to have them in your hands as I just share for a minute after we're all had that opportunity. I can't move this. Hey, Adam, can you push this for me? Thanks. Thank you.
Oh, what love, no greater love. Grace, how can it be that in my sin, yes, even then, he shed his blood for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Save your Son, Holy One, slain so I can live. Oh, see the Lamb, the great I Am, who takes away my sin. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
I just want to read three passages. I'm reading from Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, and these are verses, these are verses that you've all heard. I'm not going to expound on them at all. They they speak for themselves, but Isaiah 53 talking about what predicting centuries before this was actually going to take place. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried away our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And that passage gets quoted by Jesus, and we record it in Matthew chapter 8. It's in verse 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the passage we just read. He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And I, right now, I'm conscious of my need for God's healing, what I've been going through with my shoulder, and it is progressing wonderfully. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin, and that's what's represented by what you have in your hand right now. And the body of Jesus, according to Isaiah and according to Matthew and elsewhere in the scriptures, the body was broken so that we could be healed. And I just wanted you to have the elements in your hand as I talked about this, because I always feel the shed blood of Jesus is the most amazing thing in human history because of what it did. It opened the door for everything else related to us having a relationship with God, including the healing of our bodies. And my wife and I were talking about it on the way over here this morning. A lot of people don't realize this. Even your brain is a physical part of your body. God wants to heal your brain, your hands, your stomach, your whatever. Amen. It's one of the awkward things in the New Testament. Yes. It's probably the easiest thing to let go of because we don't see it working in front of our eyes all day, every day. But God wants us, God's best, whatever reasons there might be for us not walking in God's best, that's a whole other discussion, but God's best is for us to walk in health and strength and peace. So I just wanted to go over that while we were having communion this morning. And now I'll go back to the more traditional communion verses. But think about it. As we partake of the bread that represents his body that was broken so that we could be healed. That's what this is about. Let me read it. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We have so much to be thankful for. At our worst, we have so much to be thankful for. Yeah. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Are you glad that, as the song said, that in my sin, even then, he shed his blood for us? He was willing to do that at our worst time, at the worst place. It wasn't when we were at our best that he did that. It was when we were at our worst that he shed his blood for us. Glory, glory be to his name. I have a few prayer needs I want to bring before you this morning. Brother Tom sent me a text yesterday, and I want to lift up the Rahema Home and Irvin Ruth Schwant to you. There was a really awful thing that happened there. Paul and George, two men who began their lives at the Rahema Home as little boys and were raised at the Rahema Home, graduated kind of from their program and were living on their own, went to some kind of a party or a gathering, and a fight broke out, and they were both stabbed to death. Heartbreaking for Irv and Ruth. It's just a terrible, crushing thing to have raised those two little boys and have that happen. So we need to pray for the home, for Irv and Ruth, and for God to undertake for them. It's just a terrible thing. I'd like us also to lift up Lou Perry. Lisa mentioned this morning. Lou has a partially collapsed vertebrae, correct? And it's causing her just excruciating, severe pain. And she can't get the treatment she needs until July, did you say? There's some kind of, you know, the medical field sometimes is helpful and sometimes it's not. And so I want to pray that what the medical field can't do, that God's hand would come upon her and help her today. Father, in Jesus' name, our hearts break for the Rahema Home today, and God, for that wonderful ministry, Lord, and the loss of these two men. Father, we pray for your grace for Irv and Ruth, for the staff there, for the people who knew and worked with these boys who are now men, but Lord, this tragedy that struck. And God, we pray that you would help them. Help them in their grief, Lord. It's just such a sad thing. And yet, Father, we pray that even in tragedy, that you would help to bring forth your word in this, Father, and that the people who did this thing, Lord, that they would be convicted, that they might find their Savior in all of this. Lord, God, that you would bring something good out of something terrible, and that you would touch and help them, Father. Touch and help Irv and Ruth, and minister to them in the home in their grief, Lord. Oh, God, help them in Jesus' name. And Father, help us over the next days and weeks to remember to pray for them, Lord, for this need. Lord, we pray for our sister Lou, that you would touch her body. God, deliver her from this pain of this vertebrae. Lord, in Jesus' name, do what the doctors can't do. God, touch her and deliver her from that terrible pain. Touch her back, Lord. Oh, God, great physician. Lord, even as we celebrated communion today, your broken body for our healing. Lord, we pray your hand would extend to Lou. Father, touch her body, even at home now. Father, while she's in her suffering, that you would deliver her. Deliver her from this thing, Father, and release her from the pain. And we trust you and believe you for it. We know that you care for her. Help her, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Tom, I wanted to ask you to come up and share. He has a testimony today. I'm sure Tom has a testimony every day, but a special one today. And I turned this mic off. And give it a second there. It'll be up.
Well, good morning, everyone. So the Lord has touched me in my body numerous times over the years. Sometimes it's been more significant than other, and this is one of those. So I went to a doctor some months ago and was told, she's just kind of matter-of-factly mentioned that I had stage 3 kidney disease, which I said, what, where'd that come from? And she said, well, it's been like this for the last 12 or 13 years. You know, on my chart, you can see, I saw this thing and I thought it was a little off, but nobody said anything, so I didn't say anything. So I said, well, what can I do about it? She says, well, there's not much you can do about it. Drink some water and you know, eat well. And so I'm drinking water and eating well and praying. So I went and had blood work done, like
2.5 weeks or so ago, she told me, she didn't say, you're not going to get better, just said, don't expect it. It's just not normal that you would. My kidney function is absolutely like right where it needs, like right in the middle of normal. So for those who say doctors know everything, believe me, they don't know everything. And can I just say one other thing about this Rahama thing? So this Paul is one of the kids that was stabbed, and the other one's name was George. But Paul, Judy and I actually sponsored this kid for probably 15 years that we just contributed to his support at Rahama. So this is like a very difficult thing. So if you would just take this with you when you go home and remember to pray. There's 60 kids in this home that are reeling from this, not to mention Irvin Ruth, and it's a lot of pain. So if you would just please remember that would be wonderful. Thanks. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen, amen. Kidney disease, stage 3 kidney disease, does not get better. It doesn't get better. But God, he shared that in the men's Bible study, and I let out a shout, and then I kind of looked around the table like, whoop. It's like, yes, yes, glory to God. Oh, that was shouting ground. Amen. Amen, amen. God is good. Oh, I got way too many notes up here this morning. I'm not going to be long today. We've had a lot already this morning. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. All right. Well, we're going to start today back in the book of Genesis. Good place to begin. Back where it all began. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is a profound, profound truth. And we could spend the whole rest of this message just talking about that concept, that we are made in the image of God, that it's the Hebrew word tselem, and it means literally to have the same resemblance, to have the likeness of. Do you know that you look like God? Now, some of you might look at each other and say, well, I hope God doesn't look like that. But we are made in his image. We look like him. We have the same essence as God. I think that physically we're made to look like him. The scripture talks about the hands of God. It talks about the eyes of God, the ear of God that hears. And physically, you know, I think we're made to look like him, but more importantly, spiritually, we're made to look like him, because God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's important for us to understand that as a human being, we are also a three-part being. We're made in the image of God. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that like God, we have body, we have soul, and we have a spirit. And, you know, we don't share the attributes of God. We're not omnipotent and omnipresent. You know, we don't have that. But we have his likeness. And people in this world are creative because God is creative. You look at the beautiful things that man has created, and It's because God put that in us because we're in his likeness. God is the great artist. Genesis 1:1, the first recorded act of God was creative. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. And you step out here and you look, people come up here and they look out over these hillsides and they're like, what a gorgeous view you have up here. It's like, this is what God has created. And an artist can come and capture it and draw it or paint it, but only God created it. He made that. It's marvelous and magnificent. We're creative because he's creative. Art, music, literature, architecture. We create because we're made in his image and he likes to create. God is relational. You know why you like to be around people? Because God likes to be around people. God is social, like we are. We like to have relationships with others because God likes to have relationships with other people. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, to proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The whole essence of what God did in the Old Testament was to have a people. He wanted somebody. Why did he create Adam? He wanted somebody. He wanted to have fellowship with him. Why did he call out Abraham? Because he wanted a people. Why did he send Jesus to die for us? Because he wanted to have a people for himself, for him to be with. God is social. He's relational. That's why you like to be with each other. That's why we like to relate to each other, because God likes to. And we're made in his image. But the main attribute that I want to talk about today, to center on today, is the one I think is the very most important. God is a giver. God is the ultimate giver. We think of him as the great God, the great creator, the great one, but he is the great giver. Think about what God does. Of all the things that he does, God is generous. God is gracious. He pours out his mercy. He is everlastingly long-suffering. He is an incredible giver, and he gives extravagantly with abandon, completely and lovingly. And like God, we are created also to be givers. And the concept of giving is so foundational to the gospel. It's so foundational to the church. It's so foundational to the Christian life. It's important that we understand it and understand it from the standpoint that we give because God gives. And that means we are created to be givers. God gave his best. He gave his absolute best, his most precious possession, his son, himself. And he gave it in the most pure, complete and total way that he could. And like him, we're called to be givers. And I'm not talking just about money. Please understand. This is not a plea for money. This is not your pastor saying you need to give more to the church. I don't want your money personally. I'm not interested in it. We need your money to keep the lights on. It's nice to be able to operate the ministry. We do need finances. We do need all of that. But giving, God makes us givers because he knows that Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Adam, you can go to that next scripture, please. Yeah, I have that one somewhere. But God knows that where your treasure is, that is where your heart's going to be. I did mean to mention John 3:16, because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. Do you see the giving nature of God? And he didn't give a little bit. You know, you read about the gods of other countries in antiquity and in mythology, and all they do is take. Take, 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 take. Our God is the only one that gives. He's the only one that gives. And he is so incredible and so generous as to give eternal life to us who never even deserved it. The boundless, immeasurable gift that God gives us. And so he wants our heart to be in the right place. And where your treasure is, that is where your heart's going to be. So, yeah, God is interested in your finances. He's very interested in your finances. He's very interested in that your finances are his finances. Not my finance, not that they're my finances, not that the church's finances, that they're his finances. And this is about hearing from God. And your money, what you do with that is a good indicator of where your heart's at. Where's your heart at with your finances? I know sometimes when my retirement fund dips a little bit and the stock market goes down, sometimes I get a little nervous. And, well, where's my heart at? Uh-oh. Am I trusting in my retirement fund or am I trusting in God? You know, where is it? What's going on? You know, sometimes my attitude about things goes up and down as my checking account goes up and down. Oh, man, I don't know. Oh, wow, hey, things are... Oh. And you know exactly what I mean. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And, you know, and the idea is we give and God gives. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. He's rebuking them. They weren't bringing in the tithe according to the law, and the priests weren't being provided for. There are times throughout the history of Israel where the priests had to give up being priests and go out and work the fields, and they were never supposed to do that. They were never supposed to have to tend to the natural things. They were supposed to be provided for by the people of Israel so that they could minister. And God is saying, get the tithe in so that there's food here. But then he also says, test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing without measure. And I'm not saying, you know, give so that you'll get. Oh, you know, that turns into something covetous. Well, if I give my finances to the Lord, he's going to bless me and I'll give. No. We give with no strings attached. We do it because we love him and we pour it in. But because God loves us, he's generous and he pours back to us. And he takes care of us. He's faithful to take care of us. And you know what? If I give and God blesses me in this life, that's great. But you know what? I want my reward in heaven. I'd rather have it there where I'm going to enjoy it forever instead of a couple of years down here. Who needs it down here? Well, you know, we need it a little. But if the scripture says our life is a vapor. It's like a breath. It's here 1 minute and gone the next. I want my treasure in heaven. That's where I want it. Oh, you know, it's nice to have a little bit here. But, you know, God wants to bless us, but he wants us more to be made into the image of his Son, who was the greatest giver. Romans 8:29 says that we're to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. That's his goal. And when we give, we're formed more into the image of Christ, who laid aside everything and came. But the concept of giving extends way beyond financial ideas. Yes, God wants us to submit our finances to Him, but it extends to the body of Christ. And not only are we made in the image of God, but we are also literally the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Flip. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, did you catch both halves of that verse? Now you are the body of Christ, us. First of all, us. But then each. Now it's personal. Us, but then it's personal. God gets personal, and you should take it personally. Be sure to take this part of the message personally. Each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you is a part, an integral part of the body of Christ. And that means each person has a part to play. Each person has a part in the body of Christ to play. And what does the scripture talk about when it talks about that? 1 Corinthians 12, we'll look a little bit more into that. But the body has to work. And have you ever tried? Judy took a tumble yesterday again, and her foot didn't work. Well, you know what it's like to try to walk around on one foot. Try it. Try dragging your other foot around. You know, she's trying to get herself in her bedroom. You know, it doesn't help if your foot doesn't work. And if you're called to be a foot in the body of Christ and the foot isn't doing its job, what happens to the body? What about the hand? Curtis had shoulder surgery. I had shoulder surgery. Man, when you don't have your right arm, it's like you're crippled. It's terrible. You go around and you can't write, you can't. And so is the body of Christ if the arm isn't working. It all has a part to play. Ephesians 4:16, for from Him the whole body fitted and held together by every supporting ligament. The Greek word, literally it means every joint, everything that holds the body together, grows and builds itself up in love through the work of each individual part. And I thought it would be fun to show the New Living Translation for that verse. It says, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So every part of the body needs to give its part, needs to be me there. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 talks about the body is a unit, though it is composed of many parts. And although its parts are many, they all form one body. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink. For the body does not consist of one part, but of many. And then it goes on to talk about, if the ear says, I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. If the hand says to the foot says to the hand, I'm not part of the body because I'm not you. We get a lot of weird ideas about the body of Christ and what's important in the body of Christ and what isn't. God has a totally different economy. Every part of the body of Christ is absolutely important. But people tend to see things like, oh, well, you know, the pastor, he's very important. Every part of the body is important. We have different priorities, but God doesn't. God sees them. And the person who cleans the church is, aren't you glad somebody cleans the church? You know, glory to God, you get to go into a clean bathroom. But it's important. There's the people who count the money, the people who do the work in the office, the people who do this, that. It's all the parts of the body that help, that make the whole thing work. And when one of those things breaks down, it doesn't work well. I thank God that we've got people to jump in, but sometimes I get sick and poor Tom had to jump in 1 week and they had to figure out what they were going to do for music. So Kelly jumped in and played the piano, but people had to patch holes. And, you know, there's problems when the body isn't all there. Thank God we've got people that can jump in and do that and make it work. In verse 26 is when one part of the body suffers it. We all suffer. That's why we're praying for the Schwans today. It really hurts. But everyone has a part to play for the body to work. Everybody has a part to play. We saw that the scripture says every person, each one. So that here's my challenge today. What is your part in the body of Christ? Where are you called to give? Where are you called to invest your life? Where is it? Where are you called to give? And maybe you're already doing it. Maybe you're already, we've got people in this church that are doing a lot of stuff. And I'm not here to put a trip on anybody and say, well, you need to do more for the... That's not it. This is all couched in hearing the voice of God. You can only do effectively what God calls you to do. But what does God call you to do? Where is your place? Where is your part in the body? You know, maybe you're already doing it. Maybe you're seeking God about it. You know, but God wants you to find your fit in the body so that you can be a fruitful giver. We had a little leadership gathering the other night, and we were talking about seeking God's direction for the church, and we're saying, praying and talking together. You know, where are we going? How are we walking? What is God saying? What should we be about? What should we be doing? And part of our discussion was that part of the vision for the church should actually arise up out of the congregation, because we are the body of Christ. So what I want to say to you today, what is God speaking to you? What is God saying to you? Now, I'm not saying what is God saying to you that you think I should be doing. Hey, Pastor Dave, I think you should be this, that. No, what is God saying, telling you that you should be doing? And then come and tell me about it. Pastor Dave, I feel like God's stirring something up in me. Yeah, tell me about it. That's when I get excited. I'm like, yeah. What is God saying to you? What is God speaking to you regarding the church? You know, maybe in your heart you're saying, well, I don't really know what my part is. I don't know what God... And so then we pray with you. And we grab hold of you and we'll pray and we'll say, okay, God, reveal it. Make it clear. Make it manifest. But we'll pray for that fruitful place to give. But we give because God is a giver, and we're made in His image. Part of the reason that it's more blessed to give than to receive, remember Jesus said that, Paul actually quoted him, it is more blessed to receive, is because when you receive, you just receive. I mean, it's good to receive. And you know, I've discovered that some people really have a hard time receiving. You know that? You know, you try to give them something and they're like, oh, no, I don't need that. Yes, take it. No. So we do need to learn to receive. But the reason it's more blessed to give than to receive is because, you know, when you receive, you just receive. But when you give and you receive. I know lots of people who go and they'll go out to minister, or they'll go and they'll bring a blessing to somebody, and they come away and they say, wow, I went to be a blessing to them, and you know, I got blessed from being there. You know, sometimes we're blessed in return. When we give, we become more like Jesus, conformed to his image. And then it's important to remember that when we minister and when we give, we're doing it not to anybody else, we're doing it to Jesus. Matthew 25, 37 through 40, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. I remember Mother Teresa always said, she said, when I hold the heads of the lepers as they're dying, I'm with Jesus. Think about that. When you minister to somebody else, you are ministering to Jesus. God calls us to be givers. His calling is specific too. And it's really important that we have an ear and say, God, where's my fit? Where's my fit in the body of Christ? I just remember the story of a lady who served in a church. She was a precious saint, and she wanted to be used by God. And the pastor came to her once and said, we need a Sunday school teacher. Would you do it? And she said, well, okay. And she did it. And she did it for about 25 years. She hated it. She didn't like it, but she did it because she was asked to. And later on, somebody came to her and said, what is it that you want to do? And she said, oh, I really wish that I could be involved in, and she named it another area. My brain is stretching for what it was. And she served, but she spent a lot of years serving in the wrong place. And she moved to another area, and it's just a blessing to the entire church. But it's important for us to serve and to hear from God. So what is God saying to you? And maybe God's spoken to you and you're walking in it, or maybe God's got something else for you. And if God speaks to you, I want to hear it too. Come tell me. I want to know. But God has a fit for every person. Every person has ministry. Every single one, and God wants to use you. It talks about the spiritual gifts that God distributes them to each as he wills. That's we're talking about spiritual manifestations. The power of the Spirit. Are you believing God for that? Are you asking him for it? Are you saying, God, how are you gifting me so that I can be a blessing to other people around me? I can pray for the sick. Maybe I can, you know, it's not just the pastor that has to pray for people. You can believe God to use you. And God will do it. God will do it. You know, Brother Kevin, the Lord's talking to me about you, and I have a word from the Lord for you, and I want you to take it as that. This isn't your pastor just saying something nice to you. I hear the Lord saying this to you, that God has a fit for you in the body of Christ, and it's the gift, we call it the gift of mercy. It's the gift of showing mercy. And it's the very heart and character of God where we have mercy on people, where we extend kindness. And God's put that in your heart. You know how sometimes spiritual gifts manifest according to the personality that God's built into you? And God wants to use the gift of mercy out of you. And the way it's going that I see it happen with you is that God is going to help you to see through people's facade. Do you know everybody wears a facade? You really, if you think you don't, you do. Because we all walk around and fake it all the time. And somehow God is going to gift you. You're going to see beyond people's facade to their needs. It's going to happen in a very natural way, but God, you're going to know. And you're going to say, can I help you? What can I do for you? Can I pray for you? And the way that God is going to, I believe God is going to use you, I see you praying for people. I see you praying for people. You're going to see needs, and you're just going to go over and say, can I pray for you? I want to pray for you. And you pray for them in the name of Jesus, and God's going to move in on those prayers. That gift of mercy, God is going to do that in your life. But use that as a vehicle to pray. Bring it in the name of Jesus. Point them to the kingdom of God.
I miss my mother, is what it is. And I see my mother and a lot of women. And, you know.
God's going to do it. God's going to do it. You continue to pray and seek Him. I believe He wants to use you in that.
Yeah. But can I say one more thing?
Go ahead, Kevin. We are.
That really stuck.
We are.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Kate, the Lord wants me to tell you something. The Lord wants me to tell you, He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. And I just have this sense that one of the devil's tools against you is, you're not important. You're not important. God's going to overlook you. You're too old. It's too late. And God wants me to tell you today, He has not forgotten you. You are not forgotten. And what I see it in is that God wants to do something in you where you are going to have a heart to mentor other people. God's going to bring people into your life. He probably already is, that you're going to you're going to be like their mom. Some of them are going to call you mom. Some of them might be really young, and they might call you grandma. They might. But I'm hearing that and seeing that. But the thing is, know that God's pleasure and His anointing is on you. He hasn't forgotten you. And He's going to make you a mother to other people in the body. Glory to God. Father, we thank You, Lord, that it's Your heart's desire to fit us in where we can be blessed, a blessing. And it's a blessing to be a blessing. Father, I pray that You would help us today, Lord, to find our fit, our place, how You want to use us with other people. And Father, as we seek Your face, Lord, because we know that we need to look to You, that You'll reveal and that You'll help us. Conform us into Your image, Lord. Teach us what it means to be a real givers, because You gave Your most precious for us, and You continue to pour out on us, and You give us eternal life and the riches of the kingdom of heaven to those who don't even deserve it. Father, help us in the same way to be givers with abandon, lavish and generous to each other and to the world. And Lord, we thank You for that privilege in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, someone will be here to pray for you. We serve a miracle-working God, and we believe that He still heals. So if you're here today and you'd like prayer, God bless you. Please come up. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. Go and expect to be used by God.